You can't get it on. Okay, we're in the Rambam, Perek Shmini, Halacha Base, Chapter 8, Law 2. There's only one picture. It's on this Halacha, and that's it for the Perek. If you recall, last week we began this 8th chapter. We're talking about a grave that's lost, a body in a grave that's lost in a field, and you don't know what happened to it. Either the whole grave is somewhere in this field, and then it will be metame b'maga b'masa uba oiho, or it got plowed out and all you got is barley corns of bones, which is only metame b'maga u'b'masa and not for oho. Halacha, I'll discuss what the status is, but now we're going to continue with this situation. You got this field and you have to be suspicious. There could be a whole body somewhere in the field, you just don't know where it is.
It's a grave problem.
So what do you do? Bona bias vali al gabav. You built a house with a roof on top, and that is this picture. I can't get it all in one spot. It's a two-floor standing structure with a ceiling in between the first and second floor, and no opening from the first floor to the second floor at all. That's the case. How do you get to the second floor, you ask?
Ladder.
That's called a ladder, a fire escape route, yeah, whatever. Yeah. So there's no way to get in there. Okay, now, take a look carefully at the way the picture is designed. The picture is designed with windows, and at the bottom of each window is what we'll call a lip. What I don't know what you want to call it. Yeah. It sticks out, that protrudes out, the ledge or whatever. Window sill. Mm-hmm. But the way the picture should be designed, it's protruding out beyond the house a little bit. Okay? All the three windows that are in the picture here, or the bottom one could be a door, doesn't really matter, window, whatever. Okay?
So the windows are flush with the wall, but the ledge protrudes out.
But the ledge protrudes out. Right. The ledge protrudes out beyond the house. Right. That's that it, beyond the house.
Yeah.
Now the question is, there is a corpse in the field, we just don't know where. It could be anywhere in the field. If you're going to build a house on this field, we have to be strict and assume perhaps the corpse is right beneath where the windows are, and the corpse, as a matter of fact, extends where the ledges are. That's the concern over here, okay? Could be more concern, but that is
the... That's the worst.
That's the concern we're the most worst, as we will see why. It could be anywhere, right? And it's only going to be metama, you know, what's above it, but it will get sealed off. Remember, if the first floor is closed, it doesn't go beyond the first floor. That's a rule we already learned. In Ohel, this house will be... what's really happening here, you may be building a house right on top of the corpse, which will be metama, the first floor, as an Ohel. Could be that the corpse is a little bit over the ledge, you know, a little bit inside the window, outside the window, on the floor, rather, you know, buried down. Those are all the possibilities. So now let's see what would be the state. If you built a house like this, what would be the status regarding the Tumah? So let's read inside and we'll explain. So, Bona Bayis Vali Al Gabav. You're building a main floor and a second floor on top in this field. There's no opening from the first and the second floor. We have to be suspicious of the worst possible scenario where the body's in a place that could create the most tumah regarding this house. So what would be the most that it could do? So let's see. In pischa shel aliyah, keneged pischa shel bayis. If the second floor window, and in our picture here, that's the white one for right now. We're going to be two scenarios here, but let's just say this simple one. The white, clear window on the second floor is above the gray opening on the second floor, on the first floor, mm-hmm. Right? On the first floor, right? And if the ledges are exactly parallel, in other words...
Perpendicular.
Perpendicular is this.
Oh, okay.
Parallel. So if the second floor window is exactly above the first one.
They're aligned.
Sill that hangs out over the house is over the sill of the one that's below it as well. Okay?
Yeah.
So if we have that, and that's what he means to say, im hayapisra shel aliyah, if the opening of the second floor is connected, is exactly aligned with the pisra shel bayis, of the opening of the bayis, which means the lower floor, ha'aliyah tahora. The top floor is completely tahara.
Yeah, it blocks it like the
okay.
Ceiling, right?
Because why? Because the tumah will go into the house, goes into the first floor, but there's a ceiling and floor between the first and second floor.
Like the floor.
Now, wait, but maybe no. Maybe the dead body, look where it's positioned. It's very difficult to understand.
Under the ledge?
The body is under, it's halfway, it's a bit under the ledge and inside the ledge. So now the body can make the ledge tame. Okay, but it ain't going to go beyond the ledge.
Because that upper ledge is
that
a line.
The second ledge is a line. Yeah. Now, if the second ledge was further over than the first ledge.
Now we got all hell problems.
Then that would be tummy, because you don't know where the body is, and it could be under where the second ledge is.
Now the second floor is tummy.
You don't know where the body is. The body from
the ledge,
straight up to heaven.
Extended.
Unless there's something blocking it.
Top extended.
So the body, if the ledges are directly 100% aligned, then the second floor cannot be tummy because the first floor locks it and seals it. However, if the mom is not going to say it, but if for any reason the second floor ledge would extend beyond, right, then they're both going to be tummy because the body now could rest in a way that's underneath both the bottom ledge and the top ledge.
Or if there are no ledge on the bottom.
On the bottom. It goes straight up to ledge.
That's another
situation. It's for sure going to make them both tummy.
And this is all suffix, though. This is suffix.
But it's still suffix.
It's all a ledge.
Takas mashkov habayis. Even if the grave, the body, was underneath the doorpost or the ledge of the bottom floor, haliyah tahara. The second floor is tahara. Why? Sure, oel al gabayel, because it's a ohel on top of an ohel. As we've already explained, the tumah does not go past the first oil. But in lo haya mechuvan, now that's already the left picture, left side of the picture, which should be looked at as a lid. Like, just assume you only have, for the sake of argument, let's just say you only have the two openings and they're both gray. Let's say that's the only thing there. Or let's say you have the white one, still is tar anyway. But let's just assume that you have the second one. So now that you've got the one on the right side and the one on the left side, and they're not parallel to each other, that's the next case over here. Okay, if they're not aligned, now the second floor is completely tmea. Why? Shema aspuka salia. Maybe the threshold of the opening to the second floor, ala kever, is directly opposite the grave. For aliyah, maliyah ala kever. And now the second floor will be making an ohel over the grave, insofar is that the body would be over. Now, it wouldn't be matame. Let's look on the left side. If the body would be on the bottom of the house, underneath the house, would not be matame the second floor, because the first floor is blocking the second floor.
Right.
The only way the second floor can be tame is if the body would be lined up in a way that it would be parallel to the ledge over there. So since we don't know where anything is, so therefore we would say that the second floor plus the first floor, and now once the tumah gets in, the entire floor becomes tumah. Once in the left ledge that's gray on the top, once the tumah touches there, well then the tumah goes into the entire second floor, and they'll make both floors tumah from suffix.
Is this something anybody worries about nowadays in Israel?
Only a Kohen would worry. Right? Only a Kohen worry. And we usually don't build houses in graves.
Well,
you're
building an open field. You have no idea what's in the open field.
So we have to... We don't assume any dead bodies are there. Only if you only find out. We'll get to cases later on. If you didn't know there was any dead bodies and then you find a dead body, what's going to be the halacha? We'll talk about that at the end of this parak. Okay, that's the end of the pictures. No more pictures. So if anybody wants to just look at
the what?
At the Hebrew on their own, I'm just saying, they want to just not.
So if you're a Kohen living in Israel and you decide you want to build a house, it's not such a simple thing?
No, we don't assume in the middle of Me'er Shearim there's a cemetery. Or wherever you are. We just don't assume there's cemeteries.
It's a chazaka. It's archaeologists.
So, okay, when they do archaeology, then, you know, it could be...
Let's say you're a Kohen living in Yerushalayim, in the old city.
Okay, we generally don't assume that there are going to be any dead bodies in a way that they give off the tumah. There's a lot more factors we'd have to be learning about, but you don't have to worry. Okay, let's move on to Halacha Gimel.
Don't worry, Howard. Worry about other things.
Now, back to this field. We're still sticking with this field, and you don't know where the corpse is. You know there's a corpse somewhere in the field. Now, there's another issue that we're going to deal with, and you may not in any way benefit from a corpse. That's a general rule. You cannot have personal benefit from a corpse. Well, let's say a corpse is buried somewhere in the ground.
And you plant
and you'd
seeds.
Like to plant a tree. Now that tree, the seeds, the roots will go down and it could nourish from the corpse. Because it nourishes from the ground.
Yeah.
Can't do that. Okay? Now, if it's in a way where you know there's no way it can come to the corpse, so far away from the corpse, then you can do it. So Allah Gimel is going to distinguish what situations make it near the corpse and what's not near the corpse. We're talking about a field where you know for sure there is a corpse there, you just don't know where it is.
Okay.
So again, to repeat, you may benefit from the dirt in the cemetery where there's a corpse, where there's no nurturing from the corpse.
Right.
But you cannot nurture from the grave where the corpse is itself, as will be explained.
So it's the root system could play a major
very
factor.
Very much so.
But it's not like he's...
Well, let's just see. Let's just read. The sadazu and this kind of a feeling where you know there's a corpse, and goes without saying, if it's a cemetery with dead bodies. We're talking about a field where we just know there's a corpse somewhere in this whole field, so we're going to talk about the whole field stringency we have to have. You may plant any seedling, like any grass type of herbs, low growing types of things, because they don't have very deep roots. Because the roots of seed plants will not go that deep that it's going to go into a grave and will not nourish from the dead body, but rather will nourish from the land that's way above the corpse.
How deep are we burying corpses in?
6 feet, Howard.
That's in Canada,
however it is, but the Gemara is saying it's much deeper than that. I don't know the specifics. But you cannot plant fruit trees.
Mm.
Because that, the roots go all the way until the dead body, and you cannot benefit and nourish from the dead body.
Mm-hmm.
Now, next scenario, same issue, but not now we're not talking about a field where we know there's a corpse. But the question is, certain mounds of sand where potentially there could be corpses there. It's not a cemetery, but it could be a place where people, for if they get lazy and they want to schlep a body out to the cemetery, they'll dump it in a ridge.
Ooh.
You know, like a hill of... So now, is there a concern about that? Remember, they didn't have funeral services with limousines and all this.
They didn't have backhoes to go through the stone.
And you had to schlep through these things, and you couldn't always make it to the cemetery. So there could be concerns. So let's see, again, rabbinic issues over here. So hatalulios, mounds of dirt, from the word tail. A tail is a mound
like
of dirt.
Like Tel Aviv.
Exactly. Hakrovos leir, that are close to the city. Remember, there's going to be no cemeteries in the city. You have a city, and then at a distance, you got a cemetery. Okay? Then you could have mounds and hills from between the city and the cemetery. Okay? So that's what we're talking about there. Or such as. So mounds near the city, not as the city ends here. Now you got some mounds. Has smuchel of basic forest. Either they're close to a cemetery, but the cemetery is beyond. So there could be the likelihood you never reach the cemetery with the corpse.
Mm-hmm.
Oladerech basic verse, and they're close to the path to the cemetery. So now there is, under certain circumstances, a concern that perhaps a person just either didn't make it there, or not everybody could use the cemetery. You know, you had to have permission and all this, so people would just dump a corpse nearby. But the question is, under what circumstance are you concerned that they might dump a corpse or not? So it says like this. So in our case that we gave over here, Echad Chadoshes, whether it's a relatively new ridge, as it were, a new body, as we'll see how you're going to know that. I mean, Vechishanas are old ones. Hare Elu Becheskas Tuma. We assume any ridges in the way we describe has a chazaka. We assume they're tame. Why? Because number one, women, if they have miscarriages, okay,
that's where they
so
bury them.
So they're going to bury them over there. A lone woman would just go and bury her miscarried baby over there, and nobody would know about it. In other words, it was common occurrence.
Right.
You have to remember, we don't have the sophistication we have now. Now, if there's miscarriages, full-term miscarriages, that the city finds places to bury these babies.
A lot more as well.
Right? But they're going to bury them by the cemeteries and usually by the edge of the cemeteries. Yeah. But, you know, but in the olden days, they didn't have that necessarily, and not everybody wanted to talk about it.
Right. No.
A 5-6 month miscarriage is certainly a fetus that can be metame. And they just want to get rid of it. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to get rid of it in the public square. You're not going to schlep out to the cemetery. So you dump it at a ridge that's in between, so to speak. Ooh. Similarly, unfortunately, there were mukeshkin, people filled with certain boil infections.
Yeah.
And what happened was their body parts
fell
could
apart.
Fall off.
Yeah.
Could be a
similar
type of the real leprosy, not the tsaras.
No.
But the real leprosy, but it's not our tsaras. Kovrin shamei verim, they bury their body parts.
Yeah.
Okay. And again, I guess also the cemetery, there's usually people in the cemetery, but nobody at the ridges. So people would just very discreetly get rid of things that are metame, and therefore in those cases these are what we'd call relatively close. They're between the city and the cemetery or the road to the cemetery. They're the nearest available spot where somebody could drop off these
conveniently.
So the assumption is that over the course of time people are going to do that. Okay, so there's a chazaka that's going to happen. But that's if it's nearby. People will schlep out nearby.
Now, past the cemetery.
But distant, a far distance. Gemara is going to say what it is. Hachadoshos that are also our new.
Toros.
Tohoros are tar because a woman will not go by herself.
That far.
And if she would, she'd go with somebody. And once you go with somebody, then word would spread and then we would know. Then it's not a doubt anymore. We would know for sure there is a body over there. So that's not a problem. So Hachadoshos Tohoros. The new far ones are tarva yeshanos tmeos, but the old ones are tame. Now, why? Think very well. Think about city planning, not planning, rather, or how cities move. For example, 100 years ago, the Frum community in Toronto lived downtown.
Urban sprawl.
So, where would the nearest tail have been? Somewhere at Bathurst and Shepherd.
Lawrence, Bathurst and Lawrence.
Lawrence, whatever. Okay, but now, and that would be a relatively new one in the 1900s. But now an old one in the year 2000, it ain't that far away. It's much closer. So the old ones, the ones that were new, become old, and now they become something that was much closer, although it may have been further away beforehand. So that becomes interesting, an old and a new one. So therefore, the old ones, even though the new ones that are far away are tame, but the old ones that are far away are... I'm sorry, the new ones that were far away are tar, no one's going to bear them, but the old ones that are far away are tummy, because Shema HaYikros, because it could be originally they were close. Me'ir Shecharva, or Me'derech She'avda, from a city that got destroyed or a road that got lost. So therefore, with the passage of time, things can change. So now we just want to know a general rule. What would be considered a close ridge or mound, and what's a far mound? Ve'ezu tel karov, what's a close mound? Kol she'ein shom tel achar karov yosmer, where there's nothing closer than that one. It's the closest one.
Wow.
Obviously, it makes sense. The closest one is the one people are going to dump it off at. The yoshen, what's an old one? Shein Adam Zohar, nobody can remember the mount. Nobody remembers it. It's like so old, nobody can remember it. Since they can't remember that, we would define it as an old one. What's in between, the Rambam doesn't really discuss. Okay. Halacha Daled.
A Benini.
Stei Bochim, a field of crying. What's a field of crying? V'amokam ha'korav l'leisak forest. It's a place that's adjacent to the cemetery. And what did they do as they were having the burial? Procession was going. Shanoshim Yoshvashav. The women would sit.
These
there,
are the dirge. Are these
cry.
The dirge women?
This was the dirge spot.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's near it. Okay. It was not the cemetery. It was near the cemetery. The women would sit there and cry. Afal pi shafar tohar. Even though the sand in that spot should be tar, right? Sharei lo hursaka sham tuma. We don't assume that anybody buried anybody there because that's not the cemetery. Just people crying over there. Still in all, ain't no thing. Also, we don't plant anything there. Trees. Vein Zorna, so we don't plant seedlings over there. Why? Shalola Hargil Regel Adam Shom. We don't want people used to being there. We don't want a lot of people going there to take care of their seeds and start harvesting their produce or whatever. Why? Because Shema Yesham Tuma. Maybe there's Tuma. In other words, there's no chazaka that there's Tuma. But perhaps, why perhaps? Since it is close to the cemetery, and let's think a little bit further now. Let's say that was a modest field there. Let's say someone owned a piece of land, a modest piece of land, could have a modest field to grow things there. But the owner of that field, he ain't going to use it for farming, not going to be very successful over there because all the people that are trampling around over there. So Kfar Nisyashu, the owner, whoever owned it, he's giving up hope of ever really doing anything. Lefikach Efshir Sheyava Adam Igmar, could be somebody, oh, there's a nice little spot over here. I might bury some of there. Although we don't know for sure, but we avoid. We don't say there's a chazaka of tum. It's not like the ridges we spoke before. We say chazaka, there's a body there. We don't say there's a chazaka there, but we suggest you should not plant anything over there because maybe somebody did, and then they would be taking advantage and nurturing from the corpse over there. So therefore, a person might do that. Mipnei zeh, because of that, chashash shelo, we were concerned for that. Just a chash. It's not enough to say there's vadai tuma, but it's a concern. But osi me'ah, and to such an extent, this is an interesting. Even though he says we should be concerned, but on the flip side, we're like totally not concerned. So a little bit of a hard concept in the realm to understand here. But osi me'ah, for a moment, you could take dirt from this spot, lechatchila tanurim, to make stoves, but first for the base of mingdash, to say to bake menachas or whatever. Shrei lo hos, there's no presumption of tuma. So on the one hand, there's no presumption of tuma. Wow. So, and remember, the thing is, even if you're going to take some sand, the sand itself, you're allowed to be benefiting from it, even if there was tuma.
Because
over
it's not
there.
You're not nourishing.
It was even there was. So therefore, we'll be lenient to allow people to take that and even make utensils that we're going to use in the Beis Hamikdash. Yes.
Paradise Shalom has a lot of trees. If the trees predate the grapes, is that okay?
What do you mean, okay?
In terms can you bury a body near an existing tree? Because eventually it might.
Well, no one's. First of all,
interesting.
No one's planting it there. You're not allowed to plant.
That's what I just said.
The tree's there.
You're allowed to bury a body, which
you're,
will.
You're worried that the tree's
and then your tree will grow
but it's,
from that.
It's nobody's tree.
It's your tree. It's an orchard.
It's not my tree. It's just a tree.
No, we're saying that it's your orchard.
There's no owner there.
In part of Shalom.
I thought you were just generally saying have an orchard. You have
no, that cemetery has a lot of trees.
You're not. When the corpse is there first, when you plant the tree, you're planting it for a purpose,
no,
and you want to benefit that tree should grow, and you want to pick oranges.
Right.
And you can't do that. You're going to pick oranges at the expense of the corpse.
Right.
These trees, as you'll see, these are not fruit. The ones that you have in the cemeteries are not
fruit-bearing
trees.
Is fruit the only one?
The issue is a fruit-bearing, because what else are you going to benefit from?
You can't benefit.
And more than that, the tree was there, but the tree was there first.
Yeah. No, that's what I said.
The tree was there first. So I'm not doing anything there.
So it was a fruit tree. Your fruit tree, are you allowed to bury a body underneath the fruit tree that previously existed?
It could be a problem, because then for sure it'll be nurturing. Yeah. So that could be a problem.
Don't set a stumbling block in front of the blind.
Maybe. Maybe it's ownerless.
No.
If it's ownerless, then no one's benefiting from it.
That's right.
If no one owns it, then who's benefiting from it, right? Usually when a person plants a tree, unless they're Johnny Appleseed, they plant it for a reason. I want to have fruits. I'm benefiting from the corpse. If the tree's there, no one's planting. No one's really benefiting.
No, that's why I was passing a case where
and there's no owner even. Right? And the person is burying the body there. It's like, who asked you to bury the body there? It's like, but you want to bury the body there. So.
But we said if it is your tree, then there would be a problem burying a body.
It could be. That's a good question. I have to think about that.
The bodies in a coffin is buried there? And
Well, if there's no way, if it's a solid, but usually the coffins are going to rock.
Disintegrate.
Yeah. If it's a steel, it would be solid rock. Then it could be different. Okay, let's do one more.
Hey.
Kever Hanimtsa. Let's say you have a field. You never knew there was a grave. And then you're plowing with your ox, and boom, you find there's a grave over there. Okay, Kever HaNimtza. You never knew there was a grave there. And now it's, which means to say as follows. That means somebody buried it there without permission. All right? You know, in other words, normally, you have a field. It's your patriarchal field. You know no one's ever buried themselves there, right? It's your field. You got it from your father, grandfather, whatever. Your parents and grandparents were buried somewhere else, whatever. And all of a sudden, one day, boom, you see a corpse. Clearly, it was done without permission. Someone just dumped it there at some time, and nobody was aware of it.
You can remove it.
We know the owner knows the field. He knows it's been there for years. It's not talking about the guy just bought the field yesterday.
We're
talking about a field where you know it's your field. Okay. A field where you know it was never intended for corpses to be there. And now you find a corpse. There's only one thing. Somebody dumped the corpse in there. They didn't have permission, anything like that. That's the case. That's what means hanimtza, that it's found. So now, what's the law? What do you do with that corpse over there? So mutter lefanoso.
You remove it.
You may remove it, because since we never knew there was a corpse there, so we assumed the person buried without permission of the owner. And here's the point. This is the point we're going to slip into here. Does there situations, there will be, and there where the mace is, so to speak, kona the spot where he's buried. That becomes an issue. We're going to talk about mace mitzvah shortly. There's a certain situation where the mace acquires the spot, and place where the mace does not acquire the spot.
Yeah.
When you just go and you go into, you have to bury somebody, yeah? And you just go into somebody's field without permission and you bury the dead body
there.
That body has not acquired the spot.
No way.
And especially we have reverence for the body, you may exhume the body and you bury it somewhere else because that body has no right to acquire that spot.
You can't do that.
Now, but let's take it, and if that's all you have, get rid of the body, and we assume that area is now completely tahor,
right,
because you got rid of the body.
Situation.
Now you got to put in between the lines the next clause. But what if, let's say, it wasn't just one guy dumped bodies there, you see a number of bodies there, three to be specific. You see three bodies there, which could tend to suggest there may be more where those came from.
Oh,
okay,
yeah.
It's got to read in between the lines. Vim pino. And now when you clear them out and you saw three graves there, and now you got rid of them, but what do we assume is the status of the earth there? Mekomo tame. We assume that whole area around the graves are tame until you make a thorough bedika. That means you trench in there and you dig like a lahavda when you're trying to find mines, you know.
What does it say, three?
Trust me. That's going to be way at the end. Just trust me. All right? All right. You just want to trust me? It's three?
Okay. I'll trust you this time.
Okay. Ve'oser, that's why I prepare. Right? Ve'oser b'ana. And you can't have ana from that entire area where you found the three corpses. Ashibarik, until you check it out. Kamoshi's bar, as will be explained later on in the ninth chapter, and that's where most of that information is going to come. Because if it's only the one, you don't have to do anything else.
Right.
It's only when there are three over there. Ve'kever hayadua. How about there was a grave that was known, but you know there's only one there, and it was done. We know it's there, and we know it was done with the knowledge of the original owner.
That's prohibited.
But we know there was one there. Then usulafanos, you can't clear it out, because in that case, when it's buried with permission, the mace has acquired that spot there, and you're not allowed to clear it out, because we assume when it's a known grave, means we knew, you've been there for years, yeah, I know, there was a guy who was buried there 20 years ago, and he had permission and this and that, and now 20 years later, we only know there's one grave there, you can't clear it out, because when it was done with permission, it acquires that spot. However, Vim Pino, what if you were a mechutzev, and you were a bad guy, and just cleared it out anyway?
Ooh.
But there was only knowledge of one, Mekoma Tor, the spot now is Tor, because once it's been removed, we assume it's gone. And since there were three over there, then you can benefit from it. We'll stop it over there.